Yeah. Tomorrow we're just going to do the kinnis, we're going to do a little navi, and then we're just going to do kinnis. We want to cover some ground, so we have the shul has this kinnis for everyone, but today we only have a few minutes, so I'll just speak about it for a short time. Okay, this year, let's begin with the very beginning, Mitzoy Shabbos. You know, there are a lot of programs, there are a lot of things online elucidating the kinnis, but there's not too much elucidation on the first few kinnis, which are recited at night. At night, we recite kinnis. We begin the kinnis at night. We recite actually 5 kinnis at night. And they're very interesting kinnis. They're very rich. Okay, the first kinna, Zechor Hashem Mehoyulam. It's a very strange kinna, and I'll explain to you why. It appears that before the nusach we have now is something that's new. In many old Sidurim, it would say for kinna Aleph, the tzibur should repeat the last perek in Eicha. We recite kinnis at night after we finish reciting Eicha. Eicha has 5 perakim. The last perek of Eicha has 22 psukim and begins with, according to the, even though it's not Aleph Bey's the last perek, but it begins Zuchar Hashem Hoyolanu Habitu Re'ei Escher Poseinu. And the instructions given in the Siddur was, in the middle of each pasuk, add the word oy. Zechor Hashem mehoyolanu. Then oy, and then say the second half of the pasuk. Habitu re'ei escher poseinu oy mehoyolanu, and do exactly the same thing for each pasuk in the last perek of Eicha, and that's kina aleph. We don't need to have any special nusach. We're not going to waste a paper and ink in printing up a special kina. When the kina is so simple, all you got to do for the kina is just add in the word in the middle of the pasuk and add oyu mechayavanu at the end of the pasuk. However, what happened over the generations? Now, this is very bizarre. Over the years, the first, the way we have it is, that's right, the first couple of psukim, the first one, Zuchar, Nachloseinu. Okay, we follow that rule for the first 2 Pesukim. When we get up to the 3rd Pasuk in our Nusach that would standardize all over, we come to the Pasuk, Imoiseinu, Mikoininois, Bechoidesh. I'm sorry. Yesoimim, Hayinu, Vien of. That's how the pasuk begins. Let me give you one moment to return to Eicha. Let me read you how we have it in Eicha. Okay. Eicha. The 3rd pasuk is Yisoimim Hayinu V'ein Av. And the 2nd half of the 3rd pasuk in Eicha reads Imoiseinu Ke'al Monois. Our mothers have become like widows. In the kinnah, the way we have it, doesn't say that. All of a sudden, it says, Yisaymim hayinu v'yeinav oy. And when we would expect to follow what the instructions were in the old Sidurim, it should say, V'yimoyseinu ke'al monos. Instead, what?
Oy.
Oy, and then we say, ke'al monos, oy mehoylanu. But instead, you know what it says here? Imoyseinu mekoininos. They are wailing. The Chodesh in the month of Oy Mehoyolan. So someone came along and deleted the 2nd half of the Pasuk and inserted something new. Now the question is, and this is the big, big dilemma, and this is where you have to be creative and you have to really sweat and work hard to figure out what is going on here. Is this addition, is this an explanation, an embellishment of what it says in the Pasuk? It says in the Pasuk, Imoseinu ke'al monois. So the Paiton, whoever wrote this, is giving us a very deep hesber. What does it mean our mothers are like widows? It means the bear is they're mekoininois in the month of Av. What does that mean? What does that have to do with being an almana? Is that the pshat? Or is the pshat imoseinu mekoinis b'choy the Shabbat going back on the first half of the pasuk? Okay, I don't know. It's a big mystery. But whatever it is, it has replaced the second half of the pasuk with something different. And this pattern continues throughout the remainder of this kina, where we've taken the second half of the pasuk and have inserted a different expression, which either relates to what it said originally in the pasuk, or does not relate, or has a different flavor. And we add the words "oy me hoyolanu" at the very, very end. Finally, we get down to the very, very end. Then the last four psukim we recite in their entirety. The last four psukim of the Kinog Aleph is back to what it says in Megillas Eicha. Ata Hashem li'olam teshev kisacha l'dar v'dar, lovel l'nesach tishkachenu, ta'azveinu l'orach yamim, hashveinu Hashem l'chon Hashem l'chadishun gedem, kiim ois me'aztanu, kotzat l'enu ad bo'edem. We repeat the last passage from the end of the Dar, something which is bad. Hashveinu Hashem l'chon Hashem l'chadishun gedem. We repeat again. So the last four psukim we recite in its entirety. Okay, fine. I just want to bring out some of the issues. First of all, here's the question. How are we even allowed to do this? Don't we have a principle called Pesuka Deloy Pasak Moshe Rabbeinu Anan Loy Paskinan? Oh, we don't know. It's a big mystery. We cannot know who the Mechaber is of all the Kinois. This one we do not know. There are certain Kinois that we really do not know, and this is one of them. The first one, we do not have any idea who was the Mechaber. Let me actually check to make sure I'm telling you. Over here in the article, they certainly don't tell you who it is. And even here, all right, I'll tell you tomorrow. I think we told you finally up. We don't know who the Mechaber is. Okay, that's one thing. But my question is, how could we go the original version, and still, even in the version that we have today, we break up the Pesukim. How are you allowed to break up the Pasuk by inserting the word Oy? Is it not a violation of called Pesukut Le'Pasak Moshe Rabbeinu Anan Loy Paskinan? Any pasuk that has not been broken up by Moshe Rabbeinu, we may not break. Now you'll tell me it does not apply to the Nevi'im. Moshe did not write Eicha. Moshe stopped with L'chamish Yechum Shei Torah. Eicha was written by Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah, I don't know if he wrote it, but Yirmiyah was said by Yirmiyah and it was put in writing. So maybe you'll argue that this principle of not breaking up a pasuk, the prohibition to break a pasuk only applies to Chamish Yechum Shei Torah, does not apply to Nevi'im and Kisuvim. Perhaps. Some say yes, some say not. But it's a general principle, you don't break up psukim. So that's a very big question. Why are we allowed to do this? So perhaps you can answer, that's exactly the point. And this is something very interesting which comes out. I want to bring out, just throw by you an idea. We touched upon this yesterday, is that if you look very carefully at the Kinois, more and more you begin to discover Moshe Rabbeinu is in the Kinois all over the place. He's not befeirish, he's not explicit, but he's lurking out there. He's like, hold on, can you maybe close the door behind you? Can you close the door behind you? He's lurking. He's lurking all the way. He's lurking. He's lurking out there, Moshe Rabbeinu. He's suspended out there. And it's interesting, the very first thing we do is we violate his rule. His rule is, Kol psul leposak Moshe Rabbeinu leposkinan. Perhaps try and tell us a message is that that's exactly why we're in Golos. The reason why we're in Golos, the Torah says, Alma, that's the question. Because that is the Haftarah. We make a bracha on the Haftarah, that is, it's all about Alma of the Haaretz. Why did Hashem bring a Churban? The question was posed to the Nevi'im, to the Malachim, to the Talmidei Chachamim, to every living creature, and no one was able to put their finger on it. Why did Hashem bring the Churban? Hashem says, you just don't get it. I'll have to tell you the answer. Al ozvu es toirasi. You have abandoned my Torah. So we look at Hashem. What are you talking about? There was so much Torah in the world at the time of the Churban, it's just not to be believed. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Abandon your Torah. You ever come to Simchas Torah and see what's going on? People are dancing and dancing in the Torah. You ever see every Sunday there's Achnos Sefer Torah wherever you turn. There's a Lakewood. There's everything's all over the place. So Hashem says, yeah, that's why you all were fooled. But I'm telling you the truth is, it's not a priority in your life. It's not a priority. It's good for business. It's good for Shidduchim. It's good. You need something to dance around. You need something to keep society going. You know, you have to go. It's to keep society going. It's good for business. But do you really believe in it? Do you really, really believe in it? And the answer is no. It's not, Hashem said, Al Ozias Teraschem, which Chazal explained to mean, that can't be. No, Shaloi Berachoi Ba Torah Techila, which in English means, it's not a priority in your life. It's good for business. It's lip service. You don't really believe in it. I told you, this God will send Eretz Yisrael, they did the draft. Always have the draft, the gilos. I talk for hours about this, the whole thing about that. So one of the Gedolim said, the way that he says, Rabbeisai, what's the problem here? Why don't you all b'nei, so one of the Gedolim, one of the Haredim, the real heavy-duty Haredim, he told the Olam, he says, why don't you go to the army? Go to the army. Join the IDF. Uncle Sam needs a couple of good men in Israel also. Why not? No, Torah is Megan. The same way we need soldiers in the battlefield to protect the country, we need Torah. Torah is Megan. And that's why there has to be people learning Torah to protect the country. And the Hanami. The problem is, you really don't believe it. If you really believed sincerely, 100%, that Torah is Megan, that your learning is protecting the country, believe me, they wouldn't even have a Havamina. Even the most secular, anti-religious members of the Knesset wouldn't enter their mind a Havamina to draft you into the army. It just wouldn't happen. They would say, these people, they learn, and we serve. Just that's how it is. It's only because you're sitting in front of your Gemara. I'm not saying this is what they say in Eretz Yisrael. You're sitting in front of your Gemara and you're shuckling away, and you're much more interested in knowing about the Iron Dome. You want to know about the latest tanks that the Israelis have made. You want to know about the new F-35s that they received shipments from the United States. You don't really believe in what Torah is making. You believe you have other things on your mind. It's good for business to say that Torah is making. All right, please, Dr. Fruchter, it's too much. Okay. You tell me, you'll criticize me afterwards.
Obviously, there are some segments, but I think most of
the world are really doing that. They what? They're what? While they're learning in Israel, that's on your mind. The question is, do you really believe? If you find that you're in a matzav where the government is coming after you, they're coming after you, they want you to join. If the government is coming after you, they want you to join, that is a simin that you're not really learning. You're not really, because if you were really learning L'Shem Shemayim with the Kavana that your Torah is Megan, it just would not happen that there would be a Havamina that you should be drafted into the army. Problem is, you're not really serious. So you're not really serious. They sense that you're not really serious. So therefore, it's not right. Why should you?
That's what they're trying to do. They want to pass a law that you have to go to the army, but they do understand that there are people who are serious learners.
So some of the Gedolim are just saying that in the spiritual world, there's a correlation. This is not something that you can touch. If a person feels threatened that they're going to come, they're going to take away him or his children to go into the army, and it's against his lifestyle, it's against his hashkafa of going into the army. It's not. It's because. And what's your excuse? You have to have an excuse not to go to the army. It's not fear that someone else should put their life on the line and you shouldn't learn. It's not fear that someone else's mother should not be able to go to sleep because their son is in Gaza fighting, his life is on the line, and you're sitting in a base station, your mother can have a good night's sleep. It's just not fair. It's not fair. Zelo fair. So what is the answer? The answer is, I'm also doing something to protect the country. My learning is also, we have emunah, we have maminim, b'nei maminim, and when you learn Torah is Megan. And you have to understand, when I'm sitting and learning Torah, hasmod rab, and I go to sleep 12, 1 o'clock at night after learning the entire day nonstop, 18-hour days learning Torah, you have to understand that my learning is protecting your son not getting killed in Gaza. This is emunah, this is our religion. This is what it's all about. In Orthodox Jew, that's what it's all about. You learn 18 hours by Smother Rabba. My learning is protecting your son who is sitting on the front lines, and that's why he's still alive. So who owes who a thank you? And you can't say this, because you'll say this, you'll be in a lot of trouble, but that's what it's all about. And this is what our moon is, Zehu. The problem is, you got to be with the program. You really got to be, number one, you got to put the time in. You got to be serious. Okay, if you're going, you're sitting on the street corner smoking cigarettes and eating pizza, obviously that's a joke. But let's even talk about the serious B'nai Torah, who do put in the time, who do sit b'hasmod rabba. It's not enough. It's not enough just to sit in the base, kusla base, finish and learn. You have to believe in it. And if you don't believe in it, you don't believe in it, you're not sincere, then guess what? Then it's not working. It's not going to work. And if it's not going to work, you're not protecting someone else than Taka. So why should you be the ones who are in Beis Medrash? You have to be sincere. This is a very big problem. That's exactly what Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, that it looks very good from the outside. From the outside, how come the Malachim didn't know the answer? How come the Talmidei Chacham did not know the answer? How come the Nevim did not know the answer? How come the Kamei did not know the answer on why there is a Churban? Because from the outside, it looks very nice. It's very nice. The Beis Medrash is full. People are learning away. They're learning the Hasmada. But Hashem is saying they're learning the Taka. They are learning. They're accomplishing. But I'm telling you, it's not their priority. Priority means whatever you're doing is good. But there's something else. There's something else in the back of your mind that's more important. What is it? Everyone is different. Al shaloi berichoi ba Torah tchila. It's just not the priority. Now you have a Freudian slip. You give someone a bracha. Oh, you have a slip. Oh, you should be zoiche to parnasa and good health and in shidduchim. And you should accomplish in learning. You should put out a safer yichidushim. Did you notice what you just said? When a person spurred the moment, he asked you for bracha, the first thing you said to him was parnasa. The second thing was good health. The next thing was shidduchim. The next thing was whatever. And at the very end, you threw in, you should be matzliach in your learning. You should be successful in your learning. 40 and slip. Why didn't you say to the person, you should be matzliach in your learning? And you should have parnasa. And you should have good health. And you should be this. So 40 and slip. What did you put first? What did you put last? I put last Torah. First, I put parnasa, good health, and everything else. That's what Hashem says. That says it all. That shows that deep down in your subconscious mind, it's not a priority. Who is the one that is the Av of Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Noisin HaTorah. Moshe spent in Shemaim 120 days. Lechem lo yachalti, mayim lo yashasisi. Moshe was there, mekabel the Torah, 40 days, the first luchos, 40 days, the second luchos, and 40 days to straighten things out for us. Moshe brought down the Torah. Moshe spoke to Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. Moshe is the Noisin HaTorah. The one that's really on target on this day, the one that's really in charge on this day is Moshe Rabbeinu. Like I told you, we have Mitzaysim in Mitzrayim, Mitzaysim in Yerushalayim, Mitzaysim in Mitzrayim. Moshe doesn't exist. He's not part of the Haggadah. Because it's not about Moshe, it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Tisha B'Av? Mitzaysim in Yerushalayim, Sheloi, Berachai, Ba'atoira, Tchila. Moshe Rabbeinu takes this very personally. Moshe Rabbeinu is hurt. Moshe Rabbeinu, the person that is betrayed more than anyone else on this day at Tisha B'Av, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Shaloi berachai b'atayra techila. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is always lurking in the background. Every kina you're going to find there a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it all starts with kina aleph. Kina aleph, we ride away, we break the cardinal rule. Everyone knows the rule. Called psuka delei pasak Moshe anan lei paskinan. Any pasuk, any teaching of Moshe Rabbeinu that he did not break up, we don't break up. We're tzaddikim. We're maminim in Moshe Rabbeinu. He gave us the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, Har Sinai, right? Whatever Moshe says, we do. He gave us a pasuk. We don't split. The first thing you do is you insult Moshe Rabbeinu. You say, "What's the first one? Zuchor Hashem Me'ha'ilanu Oy, only Oy. You're in the middle of a pasuk." What are you breaking the pasuk into two parts? Exactly the point. We're confessing. It's almost as if a confession. We broke every rule. He closed the door behind him. He closed the door behind him. For a moment. Every time. Everyone has to go out to make a phone call. Please close the door behind you, because you don't realize. You don't realize when you're going into a volume, you can hear every word you say. So we're not closing the door because we want privacy for you. It's not for us. We're doing it for you. Zachar Hashem Maya. It sticks you in the face, and that's by design to wake us up. We have been unfaithful to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's there's something going on over there in the first kina in breaking up the psukim, which is a cardinal sin. All right, we're out of time. Tomorrow we're just going to focus on this. Try to get to something before Tisha B'Av.